Welcome to the Metalcore Church Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We are excited to have you with us. I know I've been absent for a minute. I went on vacation to Hawaii for 7 days, and it's been just crazy mess since we stepped foot back in our house. We are excited for this upcoming September. There's going to be 3 bands headlining in Birmingham, Alabama. It's called the Furnace Fest. It's at the Sloth Furnaces there in Alabama. And hopefully that we'll, if everything goes smoothly, we'll be able to fly down there and be able to hang out with you guys and pass out flyers and get some mosh pit in from this COVID lockdown that's finally being lifted. So let's jump right in, let's pray, and then let's jump right in. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for allowing this podcast to continue, allowing us to be a light in the darkness for Christian heavy metal fans and metalcore fans, specifically metalcore. And we just pray, God, that you would use us, speak through us, and I let this just be a beacon of light in the midst of all the rules and regulations and these weird things that don't line up with Scripture that are found inside the church. And I pray that we could be welcoming, Lord, to the outcast and to the homeless, and just be that place that's just a different flavor, God. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do with this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So yeah, Hawaii is crazy. You know, I worked at this construction cleanup company for like 4.5 years, and I worked there for pretty much less than minimum wage because the company didn't have more than 30 employees, so they got away with paying us less than minimum wage. But I had a pending felony on my record, so I couldn't get a job anywhere else in town. So I was forced to work the only place I could work, the only place I knew that would hire people who had felonies that were much worse than mine. So I applied and I got the job, and I worked like 4 or 5 summers in the sun with a shovel. And while I'm out there working, I'm thinking, man, you know, that we don't get sick days, we don't get days off, and you basically have to lie a bloody murder lie just so that you could take a day off. And I didn't really take a day off except one day I really got sick. I'm pretty sure that was the beginning of 2019, January. I'm pretty sure I got COVID. I actually showed up to work that day early to dump my truck because we clean up trash. So in the morning I show up early to dump this big old dump truck out at the Bina dump here in Kern County, and then we fill it up. Every day we'd fill it up, so I'd come in early. So I get up, I'm sick, and when I'm sick I work through the sickness so that I don't lose money on my paycheck. So I'm sick and I show up to work anyway. I dump the truck, and on my way back from dumping the truck, it just hit me, man. I couldn't function. I was like, started get shaky, and it was like hot and cold flashes, and I got back to the yard with the empty truck. I told the boss, look, I gotta go home. Something ain't right with my body. I jump in my car and I drive home, and it was the worst. I pulled through the next morning, but it was the worst. I was shaking, and I thought I was gonna die. And that was the beginning of 2019. Everybody says that I got COVID. I have no proof that it was COVID or whatnot. It was probably just a super bad flu. I made it through, and I went back to work, and I was just thinking to myself, like, man, I really want a vacation, man. This sucks being out here and with the low pay and not being able to afford my own place and staying with my mom. And so I was like, man, it would be great to have, you know, a vacation. So when I started thinking about vacation, I'd never been on vacation before. I'm not from a family that goes on vacation every year. I would think to myself, I need a vacation from working out here. And I graduated from Taft College, and I was transferring to a full schedule at Cal State University Bakersfield. So I was going to get some free time, you know, in between the transition period. And I thought to myself, well, shoot, on that little transition period from my job to a full schedule at Cal State University Bakersfield, I might go to Hawaii. So I start saving money. And I'm putting $20 here, $20 there. I get about $400, almost $500 saved up for me. Just I was just trying to get, you know, a plane ticket for me to go to Hawaii. Because I have this Hollywood idea of what Hawaii is. Like pineapple drink in a hammock on a crystal water beach. And it's funny because I'm a Christian, so I'm on Facebook 24/7, you know, 7 days a week. And one of my friends that I had grown up with, he posts on my Facebook feed that he's homeless, and that anything, anybody could help him to help him. And he was a friend I grew up with, man, and I know his family. And it really hurt, you know, for me to be balling out, trying to go to Hawaii and working this suck job. So I pick him up, I bring him to my house, I feed him, I tell my boss about him, I put in a good word for him. He gets hired at my job with me. My mom won't let him move in with us, so I used all the money I had saved for Hawaii to help him get a room for like a week. I think I got him like 5 days at the hotel and I was like, you're gonna have to figure it out from there. My mom said you could come back, you know, and stay like a weekend, a couple nights on the weekend, but if you stay at the house, we have a rule that you have to go to church. So he starts working with me, and I guess during this time he found out that he didn't like doing labor. He didn't like pushing a shovel 8 hours a day, but he was okay driving a truck. So he quit the job with me and went on to become a truck driver. But, you know, he wasn't homeless anymore, and I was really thankful. I was kind of sad and bummed out about not being able to go to Hawaii. But then we received our stimulus checks, and man, as soon as my stimulus check hit, it was my mom mentioned that the prices of plane tickets had dropped. And the first thing I do is drop all my stimulus money onto 3 plane tickets so that me and my mom and our housemate could go to Hawaii. So, and then the rest of the time we're saving up. So we save up a bunch of money, and we're about to get on the plane to Hawaii, and my mom gets sick with COVID, and we're denied access to the plane. So we have to push our trip back to summertime. And in the process, the rest of my family wants to join in with us to go to Hawaii. So now it's good, because I was happy because all my family was going to go, and we were going to have a friend watch the house. And man, it was good for about, we went for 7 days, and family did not get along on the trip. And then when we come back, before we can even unpack our clothes, we've a big old fight at the house, and we get kicked out. So if you wonder why our podcast is crazy, because we were like, okay, well, we'll just get an apartment, no big deal, you know, and all the apartments in the whole city are full, and I don't get it. And then it dawns on me that the president did that eviction moratorium where apartment complexes are not allowed to evict people. So when that happened, everybody moved into an apartment because they knew that they could get away with being lackadaisical on their rent, and they, the apartment complexes would get a lawsuit if they broke the law and evicted anybody for lack of payment during the COVID crisis. And I think that ends at the end of this month. So I think a lot of people are getting an eviction at the end of this month, and the apartment managers are saying that there will be a lot of apartments starting in August. So it's been crazy. It's definitely been crazy. We no longer support the Celebrate Recovery, the Bakersfield First Assembly Celebrate Recovery group. We've been kicked out on the basis of some, I don't know what, man. This guy just started tripping on us. But we still want to be a part of Celebrate Recovery. We are thinking about just switching. There's so many Celebrate Recoveries at many different churches all throughout the Kern County region. And getting kicked out of one doesn't mean that there isn't another one for you to plug in and people for you to plug in with to stay sober if that's something that you're interested in. But Hawaii was crazy. Hawaii was definitely, you ever have this image in your mind of something and it's super beautiful, and then you see it for what it really is and it's not exactly what you thought it was? So, I get to Hawaii, man, it was not, dude, America, Hawaiians hate America. America actually threatened Hawaiians with war and death if they refused to submit to American control. So, when we go there, it was heartbreaking to see a lot of the locals working for pennies on the dime. They're like, you know, in Kern County, like all the Mexican illegals that can't work regular jobs because they don't have social security, they work with the gardening, and they work in the fields, and they do like all, like sometimes the contractors let them do the drywall and the concrete. And but in Hawaii, it was like all the Hawaiians were the Mexicans, and I was like, this ain't right, man. This is their island, you know, and for them to be working at the bottom of the barrel here, oh, it was heartbreaking. And the water was clear, but it wasn't like ice clear. It was clear. It was clearer than I ever thought ocean water could get, but it wasn't like the picture, the photography. And I did get a pineapple drink at one spot, and then I got laughed at for asking for a pineapple drink at another spot. And I was like, you guys do realize you guys are advertising Hawaii in America or in California that for the Hawaiian drink and the hammock and the crystal clear water. And I show up in Hawaii, there's not even any hammocks. There's no hammocks in Hawaii. Or if there is a hammock, you brought it yourself. And then they tell you you can't put your hammock on the beach. what kind of mess is that? It's crazy. But they didn't, I mean, you know, it's like the coconut syrup. And then it was like one restaurant had the coconut syrup. And there wasn't even any coconut syrup for sale. And Hawaii is, I was the happiest person on the island when I landed. Nobody else on the island was happy. Not, and you know what? I'm reminded that happiness does not come from living on an island. Happiness and joy come from the Lord. And when you find your peace and security in Jesus Christ, if you just get happy that your salvation is secure in Christ, and if you die today, you know you're going to heaven, and you're genuinely happy about that, you are happier than pretty much everybody on the island of Hawaii who is not happy about being on the island. They're unhappy about their circumstances regarding the American dream on an island. Does that, I hope that makes sense. It was crazy. It was just so eye-opening for me to realize that Hawaii is not this super paradise. There are homeless people there. A lot of people are struggling and stressed about money. And nobody really seemed to be overwhelmingly overjoyed in this hippie, long hair, island style lifestyle that exists in our mind when we think about an island of Hawaii is not true. It's a tourist invasion of a Hawaiian island. The Hawaiians are unhappy about it, and the tourists destroy the island and the American dream and the works. The state of work in Hawaii is a disaster, but, you know, they don't want to cut tourism off to Hawaii because Hawaii suffers the loss of money. So they opened it back up to tourism. So it's like they don't want tourists, but they're forced to have tourists so that they can have money so that they can pursue the American dream. It's a terrible paradox, and I am sad because I like to believe that people who live on Hawaii are amazing, and I like to think about the island life. I like to imagine living in a bungalow on the beach and sleeping in a hammock and drinking a pineapple drink is a reality, but the truth is it is hot. The sun is violent in Hawaii, bro. I got third degree sunburns all over my body that are peeling, bro. I got back like 3 or 4 days ago, man, and my body is like, I feel like I'm shedding like a serpent. I got sunburned day one. I was at the pool for 20 minutes and I got sunburned. So if it took 20 minutes, I was in the sun without a shirt for like 5 days straight, man. My body is like, something is wrong with the outer layer of your skin. We must shed. They had the triathlon over there, and we honked and waved and shouted and cheered for joy for all the contestants and told them that they were amazing and strong, and their response was not joyful at all. There was like one or two guys out of like 100. Nobody was happy about the Ironman, but I guess you gotta focus. But still, you know, we try to pump them up, man. Ironman is tough, and for you to even think that you got what it takes to do Ironman, man, you got one in my book. You're a hero for me, man. You're gonna be able to stand against the zombie apocalypse single-handedly. Outrun zombies and jump and swim and bike and travel states, you know, if you need to. But, man, you know, it's difficult too because my home life has been so controversial, man. The church, they do not want you and your girlfriend living together in the same house while sleeping together. And the church is just so adamant. It's not really even a scripture. They just push it so harsh. And now that, you know, have you ever seen The New Girl? I like the living situation, the loft for The New Girl. They're not even students in college. They're like adults at work, and they all live, and maybe we'd kick Nick Miller out, but but you know what I mean? Like, the church is like, the funny thing about it is the relationship in that TV series really, you know, it presents an idea that is not acceptable. Like, not with the whole sleeping together and having your girlfriends live at the house there, but like a co-ed loft dorm living situation. And I think that something like that is okay. But I just think that the church is completely completely adamant about not allowing living situations like that to happen. But we are... I want to just let you know that we love you guys, and we're excited. The Sloth, man, it's like $575 for two tickets to the Sloth Furnaces. We're going to go to Furnace Fest 2021. It's going to be out of this world. We want to see you there. We want you to come and see us and get a flyer and a pamphlet and get pumped, because Living Sacrifice is going to be there. And that is a band I never thought that I would get the opportunity to see. August Burns Red. I missed all the August Burns Red shows. This might be the only chance I get to see ABR, Fit for a King, Life in Your Way, Under Oath. Man, I've been a fan of Under Oath. I know it's not the same people. Maybe, but there might be somebody from Under Oath, but I think the band's changed so much. But come say hi. And let's see. I got a bunch of stuff. What else did I want? Oh, yeah. I always like to say that we're the kings of sarcasm. And I'm pretty sure that the church is in complete disarray with a community like ours, with the most intense, vulgar, snapping sarcasm. But I just, you know, it's funny because there's a lot of ways that, like, that it's called assimilation. So when you come off of the street into a church, they have a goal to assimilate you into their ideology. And actually, you know what, the reason that God chooses the foolish of the world to shame the wise is because you have a character, like, you have a character that is specifically you, and to add Christ with your character makes you a unique Christ. And with that, it gives you the opportunity to witness a little bit differently than someone like me to minister to somebody else. So our goal at the Metalcore Church is not to assimilate you to fit our ideology about what the Bible says. We want you to interpret the Bible how you would interpret it, and let the Word of God change you as you read it. We're not going to push ideologies on it. It's weird how it works, because like a church like wants to stamp you with the name of their church. Like I don't want to stamp you with the Metalcore Church. If you like metalcore, I want to be able to relate with you and connect with you on a personal level, because I'm a Christian. And I listen to metalcore music. I like double bass. I like screamo vocals. I like heavy breakdowns. You know what I mean? And I believe in God. And I believe that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. And I've accepted Christ into my life. And that his sacrifice atoned for my sins. And I've allowed that to work inside of me. And I got baptized. And I still like heavy music. I mean, I know the church is like, heavy metal music is the devil, but we are a community of Christians that like heavy music. And if you feel like you want to be a part of that, that's great. But we don't want to assimilate you like most churches. They assimilate you in the way that you've always dressed this way your whole life because you like the way that you dress. And a church assimilation is going to bring you into a crowd where they want you to dress the way that they dress. They want you to change to fit in more with the way that they view Christianity should be viewed. And we don't want that for you. We want you to dress however you feel comfortable. we do kind of want a dress code, but I think everybody knows what the metalcore dress code is. It's just whatever makes you feel comfortable. There was a meme a while back. It was pretty funny. It was, it had this picture of a super gothic Marilyn Manson looking guy, and it was like me in high school when I was trying to show the world how gothic I really was. And then it showed a picture of like Will Smith in a blue sweater with some khakis and sandals. And it's like me, 10 times more gothic than I was in high school, dressing more comfortably. And so I think that's a perfect depiction of where our community should be. Because we're going to be, you know what I mean? We're not going to not be sarcastic if people want to pretend to be more Christian cliche, is what I call it. I tell people all the time, can you be more cliche when they, you know, when they're pushing the Jesus loves you? It's like, yeah, but it's so cliche when you say it like that. It's so goofy, man. You got to be like, the blood of Christ reconciled me to God. You know, it sounds more metal that way. But if you just say, Jesus loves you, it just sounds so gay. But we're gonna be a whole flavor in itself. Just, you already are, but you know, the church has told a lot of people in the metalcore industry that they're just not welcome in Christianity, and I want to tell you, let you know that that's not true. If you like heavy music, you're welcome just as much as Muslims and Buddhists and jazz singers and all the other musicians of the world are everybody is welcome in Christianity. But assimilation has nothing to do with Christianity. Like, we don't want to assimilate you to be a metalcore Christian. We want you to just love Jesus in a real way, not a goofy way that makes the gospel look so cheesy and unreal, and it kind of it takes away from the truth. Because, man, Jesus is raw, man. He is, the way that he deals with me is some, he'll make a joke to me and it'll be way funny, and you know, God, man, he has just a whole army of, like, it's like vocabulary, it's jokes, and God knows you at the most deepest level, man. And I just, you know, I want you to experience the realness that I have experienced in Christ Jesus. I want to give you guys, I don't know how to portray that, but I want to make it real to you and not goofy. And I'll do the best I can. I'm no pastor. I'm just trying to get us some undertow so that we can get this ball moving. We can get us a venue so we can rock out. And I want to get a whole bunch of venues. I want to put a venue all across the United States for Christian metalcore. I mean, you know, and maybe there's a band and they have, like, the drummer and the bassist are Christian, and maybe their bassist is like, hey, you know, we could play at the metalcore church. And then we'd be like, when the band comes, we'll be like, look, we got food for you guys. You guys can stay in the apartment. You know, the band can stay here for the night. We'll lock up all, you got the keys. We got place, safe place for you guys to put your music equipment. You can park in the parking lot. You know what I mean? But it wouldn't be like a church, because the church doesn't even really agree with metal music. Even today, they still are skeptical about allowing people like us and music that we like into Christianity. And it, that's okay, you know? It's not everybody, everybody has a different flavor. That doesn't mean everybody has this, we all have the same Christ, we all have the same goal, but we all have a different flavor, and that's okay. You know, I listen to worship, I think it's kind of goofy sometimes, and I don't feel like it moves in the spirit, but then there are some artists who I really feel like they put their real with God, is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? And they put that in the music. And then there's other music, it's like, what is this? It's just CDGE over and over again with some lyrics. There's no talent, you know, and it bugs. And I'm not moved by it. But metal music, Christian metal music specifically, has a purpose to reach a community, a lost community that you won't find in regular church settings. I guarantee you're more likely to find us where the drama is. and I can attest to that, because I have had my fair share of drama, and I'm sure you have too. If you listen to metal music, man, I'm just the metal, the anger, it's more like a relaxing comfort to me than it is making me all angry. And I get excited about what God's going to do. I think that it kind of died out recently. Everything kind of went quiet. There's not even any really good movies coming out except for Disney stuff. But everything shut down because of COVID. But I mean, like, yesterday was the first day I was able to go to the gym without having to wear a mask. So I feel like we're making some progress there. And the Sloth Fest is going to be like the first jumping major concert that we all get to go to. It's super pricey, but I'm trying to get you guys an early notification so that you can put some money away before it sells out, man. Some backstage bundle already sold out. And I don't know if you have to take the Greyhound down or stay at a friend's house or get the Motel 6, but let's get down there and rock out and have a good time. Thanks for tuning in to the Metalcore Church. Thanks for listening to me rant. Hopefully I got some better stuff to talk about on this podcast next time. It's just been crazy looking for an apartment and trying to figure out a new Celebrate Recovery for us to promote on the website and everything. Thanks for tuning in.